we were going to try Elvis. He wanted to hear Elvis. Didn't you say you wanted to hear Elvis?
I said, why can't I have something like Elvis? Yeah, I did say that.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, next time. I forgot to, John, so it's on me. As Camby County Sheriff Chip Simmons here in studio with us. Sheriff, welcome back.
Just don't make a jailhouse rock. Let's do something.
Yeah,
let's, a little different than that.
Yeah, we won't do that. All right, so we
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right, all that's out of the way.
Enough of the pleasantries.
Well, this week is busy. We got a lot to cover, which is unfortunate, but, I mean, that's why you guys exist. We had a shooting outside of a Century apartment. This is a week ago. One person was hit.
Yeah, we get a call. There was a disturbance, a shots fired disturbance. When we get up there, we determined that a female had been what was called a glazed by a bullet in the shoulder. But when we talked to people, she was not cooperative. She didn't want to press charges. She didn't know anything about anything. The people up there didn't know anything about anything, and we had a little to no cooperation. So everyone was gone.
Nothing to see here.
We
move
left.
Along.
So
okay.
We left.
No cooperation.
It's difficult for us to investigate
right.
a case when no one is cooperating.
Which typically means, and you're not saying in this case, but typically that means maybe the guns weren't possessed properly. Maybe the people doing the shooting were involved in criminal activity. A whole bunch of other things, because typically when somebody does something like this, there's cooperation because they want to solve the problem, right?
Yeah. If someone shoots me, I'm going to tell you. What happened?
Typically,
that's all I can.
I'll say that's fine. Say. I know we can't talk about it because what else can you say?
Well, they weren't cooperating.
Gun loaded at Warrington Prep, and two people arrested. Two kids, like 14-year-olds.
Two 14-year-olds. Ugh. Yeah. Luckily, someone reported it that one of the students may have had a gun. So we did find our deputies did find a gun in a backpack in the gym area, loaded gun. In the backpack. During the investigation, determined that a 14-year-old had taken the gun from his father's safe, mm-hmm. Brought it to school, and at one point was in a disagreement with another student and showed the gun, and obviously that's illegal to do. Throughout that investigation, we also determined that another 14-year-old was helping him hide the gun, and so we were able to arrest him as well.
Mm. 14.
Two 14-year-olds,
14.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right. We also had this was about a week ago. I think it was maybe the morning that we were on the air right after that. But you had a trailer that was stolen, and then what did you call them? Geniuses? I don't know. You used some commentary about, I think meth was involved in this, at crashed at Softly Field in Pine Forest last week.
Yeah. I happened to be heading into work, and I heard this, so I'm thinking, why don't I drive by? They could use my help.
Yeah.
They don't think so, but I thought right. in my head I could do that. So we get there and we determined that these two, we'll call them geniuses, who had been smoking meth, decide to hook a trailer that wasn't theirs to a truck that I'm not sure if it was theirs or not. We were at the
maybe
time
a stolen
to figure
truck.
It out.
Okay.
And then the neighbors say, wait a minute, that doesn't look like they're a trailer. I think I know who's the owner of that trailer. Calls the owner and then they confront these two doofuses. And they take off. They speed away with this trailer, and in doing so, the trailer becomes disattached from the truck itself. So now they just got a truck that they're driving through, end up crashing. I think it looks like they violated a stop sign, and then they crashed right there on Softly Pines. I think it's Softly Pines.
Yeah.
Wait,
are you implying that a couple of people operating under the influence of illegal substances somehow managed to improperly attach a trailer to the hitch?
Yeah, here's the thing. I was, me and Chief Hobbs were in the area, and we actually talked to one of the people in the truck, and amongst the bumbling, incoherent speech, we determined that this clown has no idea what's going on, and it doesn't surprise me that they couldn't attach the trailer to the truck.
I gotcha. Okay. We also, it's just... This I got a whole list. It's all like this week, it seems like. Some of them are more serious than others. Sidikris Dumas, who has been a local kind of hero in the UFC world, has been a really good fighter or whatever, but now serious, a home invasion arrest charge, is that right?
Yeah, he had an ex-girlfriend. He, in home invasion, basically. He forcefully entered his ex-girlfriend's home, snatched her phone, causing some minor injuries.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. So we charged him with all those crimes.
Okay. All right. Also had, I guess, a guy, and it wasn't clear to me whether this was in their home or was out and about, attacked an elderly couple. Unfortunately for the guy, the elderly man was armed.
Yeah, yeah. I'll simply say this is a domestic situation.
Okay.
Where an elderly couple was attacked. They were the victims in this.
At their home?
At their home.
At their That's home, correct. Okay.
And they ended up defending themselves by shooting at the,
person,
the assailant.
The person,
yeah.
Okay.
And then so aside from being shot, he was also arrested in the hospital bed, and what we call remote booked.
Okay.
And so he's shot and arrested.
So you said domestic. I'm inferring from that that there's nothing more you can tell me because of relationships.
Yeah, there's
or whatever.
Yeah, we don't discuss.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah. You know.
And all of it's sad, but that's sad, extra sad, I guess, really.
Extra
so.
Sad. That's true.
We also had a Pensacola man who was resisting arrest and got injured during the at something that happened at the Scambia County Courthouse. Joshua Cook, I guess. And you guys, people may not know this, you guys provide security at the courthouse.
We do, yeah. I have not read that report.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, as I understand it, there was a scuffle or two. Now, it's not the first time this has happened at a courthouse. That's why
you're there.
Deputies, yeah, at the courthouse. We actually run the sheriff's office runs the front doors and the courthouse security.
Because corrections does security for the prisoners, inmates, people who are on trial.
They transport,
but you guys handle
and then
the
they
citizens.
Hold them down, right? Yeah, and okay. In the courtroom itself.
Okay, got
trial.
It. And then also, let's see. There was a Robert Durden, apparently, 24-year-old, who I don't know attacked a 68-year-old woman, took her purse and her cell phone, and then this is back in the category of well, when weird things happen, right? So this is. What happened after that?
Well, that was it.
But then, like, he threw the phone at her and also maybe a brick?
Well, he took her purse, as I recall. He took her purse, which had a phone in it, went back to his house. And then she went to his house to get her purse back and her phone back. And he gave her the purse back but didn't have give her the phone back. And then ultimately threw the phone at her. And then as she's leaving, he picked up a brick and threw and struck her in the back with a brick as well.
Oh my God.
In fact, the neighbors had to intervene.
Ugh.
So we ended up charging
him. And she's 68. I mean, this is...
Right.
Okay. And then just overnight, there was a chase, right, that took place in Scambia County?
Yeah. One of our deputies, Deputy Banks, located a stolen car on Patton Drive. He obviously tried to stop the car. The car fled. And ended up crashing into two poles in a traffic control box at Fairfield Drive and Gulf Beach Highway. The suspect got out of the car and ran, but we took him into custody and charged him with all that. We do, I'm not sure how much power was out, but clearly it was a concern. We called the power company, the light power pole company, I guess, that did over $50,000 in damage from what the report I read said.
Wow.
But you can't run from the cops. We're gonna do our best to put you in the ditch.
What was the original incident that started that?
Stolen car.
It was a stolen car. Okay, so you spotted him in a stolen car, and right. He didn't feel like surrendering peacefully at that point. So
yeah, well, if you recall, we made the decision to start stopping quickly these stolen cars because we know that they're using them for they were at the time. Using them for drive-by shootings and that sort of thing, and you know, they were up to no good.
And just for context, for people who may not have been listening for a long time or just may not know, you know, your picture of what cops do on TV is not your reality almost ever. And then you know, but in real life, you know, you see chases all the time on screen and you think nothing of it. Well, real cops know that chases are dangerous for everybody, for the driver, for the pursuer, for the civilians, for everybody. And so long-standing policy for most police agencies was we don't chase unless it's a forcible felony.
Right.
Because then we're dealing with somebody who's the person is as dangerous as the chase. And when the chase is more dangerous, we don't want to pursue. But now we're finding that because stolen cars are used in drive-bys, and that's obviously a really awful right. thing, when you find a stolen car, you are going to chase, even though otherwise maybe you wouldn't.
Yeah, we could chase for anything. I mean,
right.
Back in the day, we used to chase for speeders and tag violations and everything. But as you started looking at it, is it worth
tag violations?
We would try to stop a car, and if you remember, it's the old Ted Bundy thing.
Oh, okay.
If we hadn't chased Ted Bundy
for a silly thing, for a light thing, yeah, no, okay, all right,
I feel you. At the time, and so law enforcement officers, not because of Ted Bundy, but certainly because it's a Pensacola case, we used that as an example,
right.
And we would chase every car. But as we started looking at it, it really wasn't worth the risk to those lower level type of stops. And so what we had determined was forcible felons seemed pretty simple, right?
Right.
And those are the really, really bad guys. But then as we started looking again, we said, you know what, these stolen cars, they're stealing them and then they're using them for drive-bys and they're using them for other crimes. And so we decided that we would pursue those things, but we would also try to stop them as quickly as we possibly can. So what we did is we upgraded our front bumper so that we can bump these cars and as I said earlier, put them in a ditch safer and quicker. And it's worked out very, very well for us.
You 450 deputies on the road?
We have about four. Yeah.
Okay. What percentage? I know very few of your deputies actually wind up using a gun on the job.
Correct.
I mean, some deputies, I suppose, might not even ever draw a gun, you know, potentially, but they don't. It's very rare to shoot. Okay.
Right.
Right. Okay.
That's correct.
At this point, what percentage of your deputies have pitted somebody? If you just have a ballpark figure out of 450.
Well, we have 450 sworn, so not all of them are uniform patrol. But percentage, probably half, I would say, have
pitted somebody
at one point, pitted or bumped a car.
Yeah,
you know, to try to get them to stop in our patrol.
Yeah. Search. Okay. Wow. That's much higher than even because I know it's happening more frequently, but that's
yeah.
You know, I would have been guessing like maybe 10 or 20%. So
a couple of years ago, that was probably the case because
okay.
Again, forcible felons, you know, when who's in the car,
mm-hmm.
Is it a bank robber? Were you right behind a bank robber, are they shooting out the window?
Yeah.
Those are few and far between. But as we start to pit these stolen vehicles and we start to do it quickly, then it's a lot, our percentages have gone up.
What is that having any impact on, I mean, I know it impacts maintenance costs, insurance. I got to figure dumb people do dumb things. Dumb people sue you for pitting them. You know, is that a cost you're incurring in the process? Is it significant?
Well, I think that anything a law enforcement officer does is subject to a lawsuit. Every
sure.
Almost every arrest, they threaten to sue us. But just because you threaten to do something doesn't mean you're going to ultimately win. Doesn't mean we're going to stop because
mm-hmm.
you threaten to sue us. We have a job to do. We have people to protect, and we're going to do it.
And the policy is, in your mind, still working, is affecting, mm-hmm. is reducing stolen cars, drive-bys, presence of criminals on the street, serious ones.
Well, word spreads pretty quickly. I remember one time we had a car chase years ago, and the individual that was being chased ended up getting pitted, and he complained because he thought our policy was that once they ran a stop sign,
yeah.
we had to stop the
How
pursuit.
Dare you?
Now, I will tell you this. We do evaluate the conditions, whether it's raining outside, whether it's day, night, whether it's in a school zone, obviously, whether it's worth the pursuit. Is like a motorcycle, sometimes a little difficult for us to pursue.
That's
and they're
almost
they have
like deadly
inherent,
force
more
at that
inherent
point.
Dangerous,
right, yeah.
Danger to that, to the cyclist himself.
Yeah.
But luckily, most people aren't stealing motorcycles and doing drive-bys on motorcycles.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, I talked with Sheriff Johnson about this yesterday, the HALO law, the new HALO effect law, the idea that you have to be 25 feet away from a police officer if they tell you to be, that, you know, any closer than that and you can be arrested on, I think it's a misdemeanor for, I don't know what the name of the crime is, but the idea is that 25 feet back while officers are doing, have your officers had to do that? Has it become an issue? Have they used it? What's the sort of level of implementation of this law that went into effect in January?
Yeah, I haven't heard any incident where we've had to impose the you know, get back type of thing. Now, we oftentimes, whenever we're making an arrest, we tell people to get back, and they almost always comply.
Yeah.
But I don't recall a situation where that has been – we've made that charge. We have not made that charge. But I do support it. I think anyone that wouldn't support it hadn't had to do the job.
Is it ever the other way around where you ask citizens to come in and help? You know, you need a hand?
I could tell you that there's been many times where citizens have helped.
Okay.
You know, without being asked.
Yeah.
But you know, we could tell people to help us.
I just remember really vividly that, you know, I've told the story a few times, but, you know, when I did a ride-along with PPD one mm-hmm. time, and the officer who was a very big guy who – I mean, very capable, you know. And I remember the first thing he told me, he said, all right, if we pull somebody over and he starts fighting me, if I'm getting my ass kicked, you help.
Yeah.
I said, I will do what I can. I don't know much help I'll be, but I will not let you.
You're a martial arts expert. We know.
But no, but I just, you know, how often that happens. And I mean, I imagine it's not that often, but because, you know, you're pretty quick to swarm, pretty quick to bring other deputies on scene and all that kind of stuff. But I was just curious.
There are times, though, when a law enforcement officer finds themselves all alone.
Yeah.
You know, me against the world type situation. And I can tell you from experience, it's not a good feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a great feeling when you hear that siren, that backup coming. And it's also a pretty good feeling when you know that citizens stop. And many times they've stopped by the roadway to help us out. And we certainly appreciate that.
But also at the same time, don't drive up on a sheriff's vehicle that stopped on the side of the road in your tinted vehicle right up to his door and expect him to have a, you know, immediate great reaction. You got to take that into account too.
Again, common sense goes a long way.
Exactly. Had that experience too one time. There was a deputy parked in the parking lot, and I just wanted to say hey to him and thanks. And he's like, so next time, maybe just don't drive up to me with that tinted, you know, and just think about what I'm perceiving this as. Right. I'm like, yep, you bet. We'll stop a ways away, open the door, get out, and, you know, make it clear. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for keeping us safe. Thanks for explaining the law to us, telling us about all these things, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.